Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
Well, let's pray, and we're going to dive into God's Word this morning. We do have several scriptures that we're going to be looking at initially together this morning. So, God, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the ways that we have already collectively worshiped you. God, you are a good God, and you desire to give us good gifts. And so we thank you for that. Today, God, I know that you want to bless us. You want to increase blessings in our lives, the good things in our lives. So whether we feel, you know, really healthy today or whether we feel a little sick, God, we know you want to bless us. And we don't know what that's going to look like, but God, we know that you do. And we're just open to receiving that this morning. God, some of us in this room, we are pretty satisfied where we are in life. But God, don't leave us there. Don't leave us complacent. Help us to risk our lives for the sake of the gospel and to grow so that the blessings we received can be shown to this world and to our city. Lord, we love you so much. We pray right now that you would help us focus our hearts and our minds on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yes, today we are continuing in our sermon series, Roots to Branches, and we know that family is powerful, right? Past, present, future. We know that few relationships have shaped our lives more profoundly. Few people demand more of us daily, and few metaphors better describe what the church is supposed to be forever. Aren't you glad, just for a moment, that this is your family? That this is your spiritual family? You know, people ask me often, Tamara, you've been in ministry for a long time. What keeps you in ministry? It's you. It's the church. It's how we love and support and grow together. It's a beautiful picture. So this is a little outline of what our series looks like. Last week, Tyler talked about generational brokenness. And if you remember, he challenged us to look in the past, to deal with our generational brokenness, and to say it can be broken by who? By the power of God. Who can do it? God can do it. So if you go to our website, you will find the message there and his materials with the message. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But today we get to talk about generational blessings. For some of us, we find it hard to look back in our lives and find those. But today, I want to ask you to see the glass half full. As you reflect on your life and what your parents and your grandparents passed down, I'm praying that you can find some nuggets of gratitude today. And as we spend our time together, we're going to look at a biblical framework for what it means to have generational blessing and then what it means for us to be that blessing. So let's look at scripture. Let's dive in. First of all, I want to say, what does it mean to be blessed? What do you think? Well, according to popular culture, hashtag blessed means that you probably have a big house, big car, great vacation. It often symbolizes abundance, popularity, success. Is that what you think? Hashtag blessed? We can often think of hashtag blessed as being just that, material blessings. But I want you to think with me for a moment. Consider a dad who might post on social media that he's just lost his job and he's wondering how he's going to pay his mortgage, how he's going to feed his family, how he's going to pay medical bills, how he's going to pay for the repair his car desperately needs. Does he then put hashtag not blessed? What is blessing? Well, if we think about the cultural definition of blessing, we also have to think, what does it mean to be blessed according to the Bible? What does the Bible say about blessing? Well, as Jacob mentioned earlier, the first word in Psalm is blessed. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the one because he is like a tree planted who bears fruit and leaves do not wither. We see this great picture of blessing as being one who is sustained, one who is renewed with the blessing of God. We see throughout Psalm, blessed are those who take refuge in God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Blessed are those who seek God with their whole heart, not just a little part of it. And blessed are those who trust completely, once again, in him. We see this as the blessed person. But in the New Testament, we see in Ephesians 1 that in Christ, those of us who have followed, chosen to follow Jesus, we see that in Christ we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's what it's about, church, the spiritual blessings that sustain us that we receive from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we think about these blessings, they aren't always material blessings. They are these spiritual blessings that we have received, spiritual blessings from the heavenly realms. And we've received those blessings because of the complete work of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness of sin, his grace, his mercy. So when you think about buying that dream house, or when you think about buying that dream car, that should pale in comparison to the glorious riches we have in Jesus and that we are guaranteed as a child of God. That is our blessing. It's not just here and now, but it's future. It's eternal. So Scripture is rich with this idea of what it means to be blessed and how we receive these blessings on earth and in the spiritual realm. But for a complete theology, I think, of blessing, I want us to go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 12. With Abraham, we see in Genesis 12, 1 through 2, that the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be what? A blessing to others." Church, we are blessed to be a blessing. So today, as we continue in our time together, I want you to think about what have you been blessed with, and how can you give it away? God is the source of our blessings. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Do you believe that this morning? I do. It is God who gives us good gifts. And then we receive this blessing of Abraham through the person of Jesus Christ. Paul puts it like this in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took up on himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to who? To Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." Church, we do it every week. We receive communion. We remember the cross. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin that we might be righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we may share his life. He became poor that we might inherit his riches. He endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance as children of God. Aren't you glad this morning that you're a child of God? If you've chosen Christ, that you have that inheritance, and he bore our shame that we may share his glory. We are blessed to be a blessing. I'd like to give you this word picture when it comes to this idea of blessings. Blessings are to be a river, not a reservoir. They are to be a river, meaning that they flow into our lives, and then they are to flow out of our lives. In a world that is filled with greed, it is easy to take the blessings that we receive and just hoard them and not give them away. And I'm not only talking about material things, I'm talking about the rich faith that we have received from generations for some of us. To take that, we have to be intentional about giving that away. Blessings are to be a river. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Not a reservoir. Dallas Willard puts it this way: blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. As we think about the generations behind us, are we speaking goodness into their lives? Are we speaking goodness over them? Are we projecting the goodness of God into their lives? And not just every once in a while, but on a daily basis. Great, healthy, godly families don't just happen, church. It takes intentionality of parents saying, I'm going to project the goodness of God into the lives of my children. We see this in number 6, a beautiful picture. We sang about it last week. Number 6, 22 through 26, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them that one way we project goodness into the lives of our children and generations is by speaking over them, speaking the word of God over them. Say to them, the Lord bless you and what? Keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Well, this is a powerful and profound statement. If you are a parent or a grandparent this morning, or a spiritual parent or a spiritual grandparent, I'm asking you to take this prayer and memorize it. Pray it over your children. The Lord bless you and keep you. I want God to keep my children close to his heart. I want God to protect my children. I want God to shine his face upon my children. You guys know anybody need a little vitamin D every once in a while? It's really important, right? Go out in the sunshine and you're like, oh, this is so good. I love it. And I feel that same way when I really feel like God's face is turned toward me, or I see God turning his face toward the next generation. And they light up in a way that only God can make it happen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you, be gracious to you. I want to be a parent that sets boundaries and rules, but I also want to be a parent that's full of grace, because God's given that grace to me. And I'll pass that grace along. And then I want to give you peace. This is a rich word, peace, shalom. Church, I believe that God wants to bless us materially and physically and spiritually and emotionally. It's this rich picture. It's not always what we want ultimately, but I do believe that's his desire for us. And we here in the Western world have it much better than the rest of the world. We are all rich. That's just how it is. And God wants us to have that shalom, that peace in our lives. So we're projecting good into the life of another. This is not the only prayer that you can memorize in scripture to pray over your kids. There's beautiful passages in Colossians and Ephesians where you can take them, you can memorize them, and you can speak them over the youth here in our church, over your kids, your grandchildren, and they're powerful. But I love this last biblical example of blessing in Luke 24, 50 through 53, where Jesus lifts up his hands and blesses his disciples and Christ followers. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. They returned with great joy. They saw Jesus, the one whose hands had healed people, had touched people, had fed people. They were now lifted, blessing them as he goes into heaven. Church, we are to move into the world from blessing, not for blessing. Let me say that again. We are to move into the world, into our homes, from blessing, not for blessing. We can't earn blessing. God's already given it to us if we are in Christ. And we are to move with that blessing, to be agents of blessing, to distribute what we have been given, and to do it intentionally. So as we looked at these scriptures, I now just want to invite you into like a time of just reflection, where I hope you can find gratitude for what God has given you. I want to share with you three specific ways that I'm thankful that my parents passed on generational blessing to me. And as I talk through these, I want you to think and pray on what that might mean for you. First of all, I'm thankful that my parents made a commitment to a lifelong relationship with Jesus. It wasn't just a haphazard commitment. It was a lifelong commitment. When they say, Jesus, I want to follow you, I knew they meant business. It was an everyday relationship, and I saw it lived out. Joshua 24:14 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me say this today. It doesn't matter where you've been. Today you can make the decision. It's not too late to make a decision that you and your house will serve the Lord, that you will commit to a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. My mom would always tell me, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I mean, really, we're gonna follow Jesus. He's the one we're committed to. We're going to walk in his way. And that leads me to number two. I'm thankful my parents committed to live the Jesus way in front of me and my children. It was a relationship, but they lived it out in front of me. I saw them read their Bible. I saw them pray. I saw them serve. Deuteronomy gives us a beautiful picture of this. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Living the Jesus way. My parents did this because they created spiritual habits in our home. I challenge those of you who are here today who have children in your home, or whether you don't and they're gone and you have grandchildren or spiritual children, create spiritual habits. Things that you're committed to do every day, every week. My parents, a habit, they took us to church. And some of you remember, not just once a week, like 2 to 3 times a week sometimes, but we went to church. They created habits of reading their Bible, praying with us, serving together. And fortunately, when Wally and I married, his parents exemplified the same thing. They were teachers by trade, by nature, just very servant-minded, but always in the community. Wally's dad served on the housing authority, was always wanting people to have housing. My mom, Wally's mom, always cooking a meal for someone who needed it, just serving people, loving people, serving their church. They created habits, and we saw them. It wasn't just one-time events. It's a challenge for all of us. Wherever you are, create those habits in your home. My mom is an evangelist by heart, so she is always talking about Jesus. So much so that when Max, our youngest son, would get in the car with me and my mom, especially when he was in high school, the first thing he would say, "Nana, don't need any spiritual lessons today." He knew, because my mom is always talking about Jesus. She is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she modeled that for us. They created spiritual habits. The other thing I want to say, church, is that my parents told me they loved me, and they told me they loved me often, every day, and they told me also God loves you. They created that habit of sharing the love of Jesus in our home through their words. And I think sometimes we can just assume our children know that we love them. We can never tell our children enough we love them. God loves you. And now that my children are older, I usually don't get a text back, and that's okay, but I'll just say good night. I love you. If you are in this room today and you've never had a parent say, "I love you," I want you to know today you have a parent in Jesus Christ who loves you more than you could ever imagine. Third, I'm thankful my parents prayed for me. They prayed for my spouse in front of me. They prayed for my children in front of me. This blessing of prayer and blessing those who would come after me. I'm thankful that I saw that modeled in my home, and I was blessed because of their prayers for me, and they continually pray for me. So just stop for a moment as we enter into a time of reflection. Those are three things that I'm really grateful for, that I can name, that were blessings passed on to me through my parents. I would encourage you this morning to take an action step. It's called the Three Blessings Exercise. Take it into your week. I invite you to, in just a moment, as we sing and we reflect on God's blessings to us and how they flow through us and how we're being intentional to let those flow out of us, to come here to the front and kneel. That's a beautiful picture in Scripture, to bless the Lord, to kneel before the Lord in humility. Would you come before the Lord today and just name what you're thankful for? Maybe some of you say, "Tamara, it's really too painful. I really did not have a great childhood. I did not have parents who passed on blessing to me." Just come here to the front and kneel and thank God for the blessings that He gives. This love, this grace, acceptance that we see through the complete work on the cross. So I challenge you first to do this three blessing exercise. Start it today. Let it continue through your week. And secondly, I want to challenge you to go back. Tyler encouraged us last week, as we think about our brokenness, to name it. We wrote it on our genogram or recorded the message for mom or dad. I want you to take that. I want you to ask God today to help you turn it into blessing. Who can do it? God can. That's right. God can do it. By the power of Jesus, God can take any brokenness you have today. Church, He can turn it into blessing. Would you just come today and speak the name of Jesus over that? Speak the name of Jesus over your families. If your home was filled with anger when you were little, replace that with peace and patience. A prayer prompt you can use today is, the brokenness I was given was anger. But by the power of Jesus, I want to bring peace. I want to bring goodness. Maybe your parents weren't present very often. Maybe they had to work to make a living, to earn a living so you could have a roof over your head. But maybe they weren't present and you have some brokenness for that. Just come and say, God, I have this brokenness, but I am going to now bring more presence to my children. Look deep. Don't walk out of here today without looking deep into your heart, and let it be filled with gratitude for the blessings that you've either received from your parents or your heavenly parent. And then take that brokenness that you are able to name and turn it into blessing. God can do it. Yes, He can. Would you come forward and pray, or remain in a spirit of prayer where you are? God, we love you. Gosh, we're so thankful for your blessings. We name them today, and even in the brokenness, God, we're thankful. We're thankful that you're a good God who desires to give us good gifts. So help us, Lord. Help us to name those today. And in that, we're honoring our past, looking back so we can continue to move forward and give the next generation what you have given us, God. We love you so much. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.